meeting. I'd like to call the meeting of the CSLF board to order. Denise, are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
Denise, do we need to do a full roll call again?
You do, because it's a different meeting.
Okay. Yeah. All right. When I call your name, please indicate if you are on the call. Ben Barnes. Ben? Jeff Beckham?
I'm on the call.
Thank you. Marty Budd?
Here.
Andrew Foster?
Present.
Daryl Hill? Daryl Hill. All right. Peter Lisi is present. Julie Savino?
Present.
Jeanette Weldon?
Present.
Thank you. Laura Baker? Laura Baker? No. Okay. Denise Aguilera?
Here.
Thank you. Kevin Berry?
Here.
Jessica Bishop?
Here.
Dan Junji?
Present.
Thank you. Josh Herlock?
Here.
Carly Levin?
Here.
Cynthia Peoples?
I am present.
Thank you. Shannon Reynolds?
Here.
Kara Stewart? Kara Stewart?
I'm here.
Thank you. Yesenia Torres Rivera?
Here.
All right, thank you. Consultants and vendors, Bank of America?
Joe Santoris here.
Thank you. Hilltop Securities?
Tim Webb.
Thank you. Pullman and Conley.
Judith Link.
Thank you, Judith. RBC Capital Markets. Anyone from RBC? Anyone representing the Chesla Advisory Committee? Is there anyone I've missed?
Yes, hello. We have a few people on from Goal Structured Solutions. This is Jacob Lynn, and I'll let the other folks identify themselves.
Rachel Infin from Goal Solutions.
Anyone else?
Justin Schwartz from Goal Solutions.
Robbie Johnson from Goal Solutions.
I'm sorry, we missed several of you. My apologies. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. And Jeff and Tim, if you could just let us know when you need to sign off, I would appreciate it for the records. First item of business, the minutes from September 20th, 2021.
So moved. Will we accept them as presented?
We've got the motion to accept. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Got a second by Andrew Foster. Any corrections or edits to the minutes? Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor accepting the minutes as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries. Jeanette, Executive Director's report. I believe you're going to talk about the investment policy.
Yes, and I did just also want to state for the record that effectively the CSLF board had their ethics training through the Chesla board meeting. With regard to the investment policy for CSLF, it is, again, patterned just like the Chesla policy. And it covers all funds, you know, bond trustee held funds, as well as general or agency funds. So the provisions are, for the most part, the same. The trust right now, the dollars are invested in an Invesco government agency money market account, and which is rated AAA, so we're in compliance there. With regard to the agency dollars, the dollars outside of the trust, those dollars, actually, we're going to be taking a look at moving some of that into STIF, because right now it's all sitting in a checking account. And so clearly we want to move some of that into STIF and keep no more than $250,000 in the checking. So we will, on a going forward basis, do the take the same approach as with Chesla. We will provide this document and also cite the section of the investment policy that is being adhered to. So if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them, but it follows the same structure and we've attached the relevant sections of the indenture and statute.
Any questions for Jeanette? Okay, this does require a vote, correct, Jeanette?
Yes.
I believe it does. Is there?
I'll move this, but I will ask that Jeanette send out what she just put on the screen.
Understood. Yes. Understood.
So I move adoption of the policy.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Julie. We've got a motion. We've got a second. Any further discussion? Any questions for Jeanette? Any discussion, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the policy as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, with that vote, I'm going to go ahead and step off.
All right. Appreciate thank you, time. Jeff.
Yep. Take care.
Thank you. Next item of business, financial report. Jacob, are you doing this one?
I believe Kevin will be going first, and then I will cover the quarterly report.
Okay, good afternoon. I'd like to turn to page 23, the statement of net position. Okay. Operating revenues were $1.2 million this period as compared to $1.3 million in the prior year and budgeted at $1.1 million. As always, the revenues are generated from student loan interest only. Operating expenses are on par with last year at $730,000 and $200,000 under budget. This is primarily due to the pay down bond principal. It's resulting in a decreased bond interest paid as well as a decrease in servicing fee as well. Total income is on par with last year at $500,000. Any questions on the statement of net position?
I have none. Any questions for Kevin? Okay.
I'd like to turn to page 21, the balance sheet. Year over year, the balance sheet has decreased from $162 million in total assets to $141 million. This reflects the payments received from students on their outstanding loans. In turn, the available funds were used to redeem $22.2 million in bonds since September of last year, reducing the trust liabilities from $162 million to $141 million. Also noted, net position restricted by the indenture totals $4.7 million. Which is an increase over last year at $2 million, leaving us with a total net position of $25 million as compared to $24 million in the prior year.
Okay.
Any questions? Feel free.
Any questions for Kevin? Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Jacob, you're going to be doing the bond redemption?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
So this is typically an item that Andrea Lennox covers. She was unable to attend today, so I will cover this. It is starting on page 27 of the package. This is covering the third quarter from a calendar basis. During the quarter, a total of 6.9 million of bonds were redeemed. This compares to last quarter where 5.25 million was redeemed. The breakdown this quarter was 3.1 million in redemptions for the A1 tranche and 3.8 million for the A2 tranche. This quarter's activity resulted in total bonds outstanding at the end of the quarter of $114.9 million. This is representing a 6% decline during the quarter. If we move to the next page and look at some of the portfolio characteristics, we continue to see increases in interest rates and remaining term, where the weighted average coupon increased 2 basis points during the quarter from 6.3 to 6.32%. And the weighted average remaining term increased from 169 months to 173 months. We've been seeing this extension going on for a number of quarters here, and is typical for an aging portfolio like this. With respect to loans that are in forbearance, both the FFELP and private loan portfolio has deteriorated some during the quarter after a number of periods where it was improving over prior quarters. We see FFELP forbearances increasing from 11.49% to 14.14% of the portfolio during the quarter. Likewise, for the private loans, there was an increase from no loans in forbearance to 0.54% of the loan balances in forbearance. So I will pause there. Any questions on this report, which is posted to the public website?
Any questions? Anyone? All right. Jacob, thank you very much.
Before we leave, I'm going to have to drop off here. This is Tim Webb. I just wanted to point out that we had a conversation with the servicer. There is a little bit of an increase in the IBR portfolio, and I believe that they are going to provide some updated information on a regular basis to Jeanette and staff as to the amount of loans that are in the IBR, which is something that we need to keep an eye on, because it can potentially down the road have an impact on the amount of current cash that you're receiving off the portfolio. And it's just another data point that we'll be following.
What does IBR stand for?
Income-based repayment. There are ability to adjust your payment based on your income that you're receiving. You have to qualify, you have to provide some data, and then you have to qualify, and they can adjust the amount of payments that you're making on your loan on a monthly basis, even down to the point where you may not have a payment at all. This is something that's happened across the industry. It's something that came out during the Obama era, this income-based repayment, I believe. I could be wrong on that date, but it does impact the portfolio. It does put makes the portfolio a little bit longer in duration. You've got a tremendous amount of cash built up in the trust, so I think we're good, but it's something that we're watching.
But the government doesn't make up for that, right?
No, they do not. Now, what happens is to the extent that you're in income-based repayment and you've reduced your payments, what you're not paying and what you would have been paying, you can have some capitalization. So you could actually see the value of the asset go up, but you're not necessarily receiving that cash on a real-time basis.
I see.
So it's something that we need to keep an eye on. It's something that we modeled in cash flows, was an increased amount of IBR. And it's one of the reasons that we, as an authority, have not been pulling out a tremendous amount of cash, because you do have upcoming maturities down the road and you want to be in a position to have the cash available to make those payments.
Okay.
I have to drop, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions?
On that subject, Jeanette, can you report to the board at the next meeting about your discussions with our advisor? I mean, in other words, both what kind of reductions in cash flow and how difficult it's paying off redemptions that look like they're near the future.
Yes.
I mean, before I would vote on $1 million going to scholarships, I'd love to know the answer to that question.
Understood.
Well, I will follow up and we'll report on that, yes.
Okay. And I guess the next agenda item, the servicer review.
Yes, so this will be me as well. Yep. So this is an exercise that we complete annually for CSLF. It's reported to the board as an informational item, so there is no motion or action requested along with this. In prior years, all of the loans were serviced by Ed Financial. And then as we know, in November of 2020, the private loan portfolio was moved to launch servicing after Ed Financial informed us that they were getting out of the private loan servicing business. So as a result, this year we've completed two reviews, one for each of the servicers. Launch is a subsidiary of GS2. This has come up before. So there is a potential conflict of interest in our performing this review of Launch. There is a paragraph in the report that addresses this. Essentially, the risk is mitigated by the low materiality of the private loan portfolio. It's only about $2 million outstanding at this time, and also mitigated by the transparency of the review process. We had a dedicated meeting with Jeanette and team to review the launch materials and provide an opportunity for any further analysis or review that was necessary.
Jacob, are you going to have your presentation up on the screen, or should we look at it on another monitor?
Okay, yeah, so I don't have the ability to do that, but it's page 31. It's not, this is a written report. It's not right. A presentation. So I will refer to the sections of the report, but then unless people want to try to read concurrently, I don't know that adds a whole lot of
the one table you have in there about the service metrics, I think might be.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll refer to that specifically when we get there. So I'll start off with the Ed Financial servicing review. Again, that's page 31 of the package. This review covers the period from September 1st, 2020 through August 31st, 2021. This year's review was completed remotely, which is consistent with the last few years, and the time period covered is consistent with the last few years as well. The review was conducted with the same methodology as prior years, and there were no significant changes in Ed Financial's business or operations over the past year. No material issues were identified in the review. In the review, we performed testing on certain types of loans that is listed on page 33. So uninsured accounts due to servicing error, uninsured accounts due to lender error, those items are listed out there. All of the loan testing was satisfactory. Any exceptions that were noted, GS2 was provided with support, and there were no significant issues on a loan level basis. So now we'll move to page 5, which is what was just referenced. This is on section 5 on page 36. So this is the performance against the contractual servicing metrics. You will see here in the results that there were a couple of overages in individual months compared against the metrics. When that occurs, we follow up with Ed Financial and they provide us with an explanation. That's in the write-up there as well. So in our assessment, Ed Financial is able to provide explanations on what occurred in those couple of periods, and those measures have since returned to be within the standards. So really no issues there. The last section that I will call out specifically in this report is section 13.
I before you get there, I have a question about section 6.
Sure.
The customer complaint log, which I understand you give to Jeanette. Can you tell, are there a lot of customer complaints? What does Jeanette do about it? Is there an increase? Are any of them serious?
Yeah, so I would say it ranges from 0 to 2 a month. The complaints can be either escalations within Ed Financial, or occasionally we will get something that is CFPB related. The items that come up can be all over the place. For example, right now there is one where a co-borrower is challenging whether they are really a co-borrower and asking to see original documents. So in something like that, we will do the research to see if we can help Ed Financial find that document and, you know, dispose of it appropriately. You know, if we find the document, then they are a co-borrower. If they are not, if we do not find the document, then they are not a co-borrower. So that's just one example. I don't know, Jeanette, is there anything else that stands out in terms of patterns in these complaints? They're really case by case, is my view.
Yeah, I don't think there's any patterns. There's not, you know, it's a very low level number of them. And the approach generally is we have a conversation with Ed Financial to talk about how it might be resolved, and then they follow up after that.
Thank you.
Okay, so I was just going to make a couple comments on section 13, which is on page 38. This is where we look at any loans that have had rejected claims during the review period. During the review period this year, there were 9 loans that were returned pending additional information. So none of them were actually rejected. 6 of those 9 have been resolved and the claim has been paid. 3 are still in process and they are expected to be resolved, you know, within the next couple of months. So no issues there, but—
What do you mean about a loan claim? I don't understand what this issue is.
Yeah, so the these in the case of defaults, these loans are covered by insurance, right? Up to approximately 97% of the principal. So when there's a default, the servicer submits the loan as a claim to be repaid at that 97-98% coverage level.
I see. These are claims to the US government.
Yeah, they go through private insurers, but yes, ultimately it's backed by the government.
Right, I see. So these are claims we make and how they've been treated.
Yes.
Good, thank you.
That was everything I wanted to point out on the Ed Financial review. So I will now move to the review of launch servicing, which starts on the next page. The review of launch covers the same period, although it starts in November of 2020, because that is when loans were first moved to launch, and then it goes through August 31st of 2021. No material issues were identified in this review. On page 41, I'll just point out the paragraph that I already referenced on the potential conflict of interest, if anyone wants to read that specifically. Section 3 on page 42, similar to the prior one. So this is the reporting of performance against the contractual servicing metrics. If you look at the results section, there are those first two items where there were certain months that were out of compliance, not by material amounts, but we did follow up with launch and ask what occurred in those periods. They provided an explanation, which is included down below. So we found, you know, this was an adequate explanation, and the performance has moved back within the standards in more recent months. So no concerns there. Section 4 explains some additional tests that we performed on launch, and these tests were intended to demonstrate the rolling of balances each month, and that the changes in balances are explained by typical activity, payments, interest accruals, defaults when those occur, and also that the trust has received the cash remittances that we would expect, consistent with the reported loan activity. There were no issues in any of those tests that we performed and reviewed with Jeanette and team. That covers everything that I plan to share on the servicer reviews. So I'll just open it for any questions.
Very interesting presentation. Thank you. And any questions?
I just have a quick question. This is Josh from Chesla. Is there any concerns over the call answer rate? I'm noting here that the new servicer is over the metric for the time period where the prior servicer was almost half of the metric. So are there any concerns with that servicing transition?
Yeah, I'll speak to that. There are no concerns. It has been below for the last 6 months or so that they've been within the measure. You can see that the worst month was at 102 seconds. The standard is 60. So even in the worst month, you know, we're talking less than 2 minutes. So it's above the standard, but I don't know. I don't think that's an unreasonable time period. Launch provided some explanation. Essentially, they had a lot of new clients coming on around the same time that this portfolio moved over in fall, winter of last year. And it just took them a little time to get the customer service staff hired to support the additional volume. But it's been within the standard since March.
Okay, so you're confident with the additional staff that it's fine. Okay, appreciate the explanation.
Okay. Anything else? Questions? Comments? All right. Thank you very much. I believe our last item of business is the approval of the meeting schedule for 2022. As I believe in your meeting packet, it will mirror the dates that were approved earlier with the one change going from June 23rd to June 28th.
I'll move we accept the schedule.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. We've got a second. Any questions or comments or discussion on the meeting schedule for 2022? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Please put the dates on your calendar. And would there be any other business to bring before the group for the good of the cause? Any other business? All right.
One quick comment.
Yes.
As you said, if everybody put the dates on their calendars, I found it best if that came out centrally. So if one had to move, everybody would get the same notice. So instead of everybody having to update their individual calendar.
Yes, Kara normally sends Outlook meeting notices to board members. So those should be forthcoming.
Thank you. Move adjournment.
Daryl, when your hand went up, I thought you were offering to move for adjournment. You're move moving. Is there a
second? I'll second it.
Thank you. Anyone opposed? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Abstentions. Thank you very much for your time. It's been a long meeting, but I appreciate your time. We're adjourned. Thank you.